Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Guess what? It's tour week, and we cannot wait to see you on the road. We cannot wait to hit the road because we are hitting a ton of cities. Where are we headed, Brad?
Baltimore, Raleigh, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, Birmingham, Huntsville, Nashville. Bam.
Awesome job. If you guys want to come check out our comedy show, we're going to have so much fun. It's pretty much a new show. We do a Q&A right after. Go to stonecoldandthejackal.com to get your tickets. It is limited capacity. These shows will sell out, so don't wait.
We start this Saturday in Baltimore. It's happening. It's happening. It's crazy.
We can't wait. Oh, my gosh.
We hope to see you there.
Tickets and info at stonecoldandthejackal.com.
And now enjoy our episode with Cameron Matheson.
Let's go.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Stevie B.
Bradford Anderson, what is going on?
Oh, good. You, I don't know. Are you a little nervous because you got one of your old, like, hot guy rivals in the room with us?
I'm not nervous at all. I'm actually looking forward to talking to this guy because we haven't seen each other since, I think, Disneyland.
I know, right?
Our family saw each other at Disneyland a few years ago, but
that's right.
We're excited to talk to Cameron Matheson, but also I'm excited that he's coming to GH. So we're going to dive right into this because I have so many questions
This
guy. Hey, Cam, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. Good.
So, yeah, first of all, thanks for joining us. Obviously, you have a busy schedule, and I saw you post on Instagram today that you're in quarantine.
I am in quarantine. So my schedule is not exactly what I would call busy at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, I do have, like, a couple of meetings and stuff, but it's been nice. I'm up in Canada. I'm about to shoot a Hallmark movie, and they got a quarantine for 2 weeks up here before you do that right now. So it's been – it was like a bit of a buzzkill hearing about it, knowing that I had 14 days, because it adds 14 days away from life in LA and my family and my kids and everything. But after being here, it's kind of like, wow, I kind of needed that a little bit. You know what I mean?
I see the golf clubs in the background. Have you been able to do that?
Yeah, I'm going to show you where I'm at here. I've got
this is
80
awesome.
Yards.
Oh, yeah.
80 yards of field out here. So
I found
this place on purpose. They wanted to put me in a hotel room, and I was like, So I found this place on Airbnb, and I've been out there chipping a little bit and hitting balls, and there's a big forest out there, so I'm hiking. It's been nice.
That's amazing. Good for you, dude. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. Wow.
So cool.
So, and then beyond this quarantine, you'll be up there for how long?
3 weeks. Shoot it in three weeks, and then I'll be back early June.
Cool. And is that when you're kind of going to start GH?
I'm trying to figure that all out.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I knew zero. I knew, like, I didn't even know character name. I'm not even kidding. Zero until 2 days ago.
All right.
So two days ago, I found out information.
Don't tell us.
Right. Yeah.
No,
I'm sure
that's still
under wraps, I bet.
That's
right?
Still top secret, but that's cool, man. I'm looking forward to you to coming here. It's just always great. You've always been such a gracious, nice guy. So it's just, you have great energy. Looking forward to you coming here, man. Really am. But listen,
I'm very excited too. Very excited.
Yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be just kind of like a homecoming, but really not a homecoming because it's not all my children.
Back to ABC daytime though. Yes.
But ABC daytime. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So dude, where are you from? We got to get into your life a little bit. So where are you from?
Don't worry. We won't go as deep as Maurice. We're not going to put you through that again.
Yeah. We're not going to put you through that pain. That's for sure.
I enjoyed that. But I'm up in, I'm from Toronto, Montreal, in Canada here, back and forth as a kid. I went to like high school and elementary school in Toronto, college in Montreal. And then I moved to New York. I started working as an actor in 1990 five or six, and I booked all my children still living in Toronto. Like I had almost no intention of moving anywhere, but right. until you land a role like that. And then I moved down to New York for that role in 97.
So did you audition in New York for that?
Guys, it was such a crazy thing. It's almost an obnoxious story. So I was working on a very cool project, you know, being Canadian and being in Canada, you end up working on a lot of American productions coming up. They sure. they have like a Canadian content, like a limit that they've got to have certain number of Canadian actors. So I was like living in Toronto. I was booking all these jobs and I was on this movie called 54 with Neve Campbell and Ryan Phillippe and Selma Hayek. And it was like a very, very cool experience. And you guys know when you're working on something that's like kind of cool like that, I went to New York to visit friends for the weekend and I wanted to write off the trip. So I asked my Toronto agent to set me up with a New York agency just to go and have like a, hey, how you doing? I'm Cameron. I'm thinking of coming to New York, which was absolutely not true. And that's awesome. So I went to see the agency and, you know, and they heard that I'm on this movie. You know what I mean? That always helps.
Sure.
Even though, you know, it was obviously a very kind of secondary part. But and they said, well, why don't you go see Judy Wilson over at All My Children? And I was like, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Let's go see Judy. Like, really, again, I thought it was very, very cool. Like, I was excited, but I had no real intention. There was nothing like realistic about this whole kind of picture. So I went over to Judy completely relaxed because in no way was I grasping at wanting this job. It wasn't even in my realm of like possibility. And she's like, here, take this scene. I spend 5 minutes on this scene and I'll put you on tape. I did a cold read on tape and that's it. From that, I got a screen test and booked the role and there was nobody else screen test. Like it was way too easy. Like it was just, wow. It was the timing of it. Like it comes down to timing. They were looking for a person in my kind of physical category. And I would also the timing of me being on a picture that kind of had a little bit of a wow, like a little bit of a wow factor.
Sure. Yeah.
Definitely. I'm sure it helped. I'm sure it helped. So those two things and just kind of worked out.
That's so cool, dude.
Growing up in Canada, how close were you? Like, was the entertainment industry something that was always kind of in your sights, or how did you find your way to be auditioning for movies with Neve Campbell and All My Children?
Like, yeah, I mean, like,
right. Like
it's a good question.
That doesn't just happen.
I was studying civil engineering in college. I come from like a family that is so far removed from anything kind of entertainment oriented. But my roommate in college was an actor, and he's now a writer in LA. He's doing great, Andrew Miller. And so I would sometimes run lines with him and sometimes like, you know, just that was my only kind of glimpse into this industry. And then one summer I couldn't get a job anywhere. Usually worked with professors or whatever, just kind of, you know,
there were no bridges to build.
Right. Exactly. Nothing, no buildings, no bridges to build.
Is it?
And
what else do civil engineers do? In my head, they just build bridges.
They do a lot. They build structures. So they work with architects. So the architects design a building, engineers kind of make it happen. They also, and all of environmental engineering is part of civil engineering. So anything environmentally, like in the last, you know, all of these environmental kind of progress that's been made has been in civil engineering. Also roadways, roads and all that. That's all civil engineering. Not that I would really know because I got the degree, but that's
good though. That's good. That should be a good quiz game. Like, well, I guess it's what degrees do actors actually have? And then it's like, oh, I don't have a degree.
Yeah.
So you'd be like the outlier. Anyway, he'd be not a great trivia game.
He'd be the only one. Worst idea you've ever had, Bradford.
Yep, probably so. Anyway, your roommate. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, it's all right. And then so I was at a bar one night and somebody said you should try modeling to make some extra cash. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I did and made a little bit of money, you know, and then that just led to doing some commercials. And then from there is when I was like, I really want to study. And I kind of got into some classes and then started studying. And then I started to book some what they called legit roles. And then 54 and then All My Children within like a couple of years. So,
when All My Children came around, were you and you got the offer, was it like, oh, okay, well, that's a no brainer. But like doing a movie, when you're doing a movie like that, there's other probably avenues that people were recommending you take, right?
Well, I wasn't a lead. I mean, the cool thing about that being on that picture was that I was on like half the days of production. So it was like a 3-month shoot. I was on tons of days. It was very cool.
Yeah.
But I was just playing a shirtless bartender in Studio 54. So I had like cool scenes with Ryan and with Mike Myers, but they were like, I had like two lines here and two lines there. Mm-hmm. And so nobody was like, I wasn't the breakout star of the film by any means, in my own head, maybe I was, but not at all. I mean, it was just cool to be able to drop that name a little bit more than anything.
Yeah. So, what was life when you got to New York? Like how did your life change besides in all aspects? I mean, you're moving to a new country.
Yeah. You know, when you have those moments in your life, like, as you kind of go through like different, I don't know, chapters or whatever moments. And it was like, I literally still remember the sensation, the smells, the feel, the look of when I was walking to and walking from my first day at All My Children. Like, I didn't even have an apartment yet. Like, I had a gym membership. Steve will appreciate that. I had a gym
baby.
Membership.
That's all you need.
I knew where I was going to work out.
That's all we need to know.
I mean, I knew what my role was there for the first, couple of years. I had to be realistic. But I just remember that sensation. It literally was, it was very almost out of body. Like, it was so outrageously exciting. Like, when I think back to that time, it feels like jittery exciting. Like, it was just like life changing to a new level, a whole new chapter, new country. New, obviously, city. You're in New York, you're working as an actor, you're actually making more money than you've ever made your whole life. And I wasn't even compared to daytime, it wasn't even that much, but it was like, to me, it was a ton.
Yeah.
And it was just so exciting. It was so, so, so exciting.
So then you're kind of thrown into the fire, right, of working on daytime where you're, doing whatever, 10, 20, 30 pages a day all of a sudden. What was that like? Because obviously, like you said, on 54, you had a couple lines here and there, and they take their sweet ass time in doing anything they want. But over there at All My Children, it wasn't, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, it was, there's like a speeding train and you're just kind of like thrown at it and you got to like hang on. What I mean? That's what it
totally
feels like.
Yeah.
And, I got to New York a little early. So I had those scripts and I had more time. I needed more time to work on them and memorize and kind of get into that rhythm.
Yeah.
And I had a coach, obviously. I was working with somebody there in New York at that time because I was pretty still very green. It was hard in the sense of that much material. So what's amazing about you guys and about, I think, everybody that I think, even to the point where I got to when I was in daytime, is that it's so much material, but it's literally, it's not about memorizing. It's not about hitting the marks. It's about making it real. It's about making it good. It's about like feeling. It's about like making people at home kind of be engaged and feel whatever it is that's going on in the scene. That was hard. That was like, I'm a very new actor. B, I've come from a world of mass memorization and engineering. Like, I cram and forget and cram and forget. So that muscle was okay. Like, it was all right, but it doesn't mean it was
right.
good. It was just,
you don't have to make people feel your bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely don't want to. Camp, how many years were you on All My Children?
I was on 14 and I had a gap in like about 10 month gap in between.
So do you remember kind of looking back, like when you started to feel like, hey, I'm kind of getting this. Like, I feel comfortable, or, like when you're in a scene, when you're not planning on anything to kind of happen emotionally and then something does, it's those great moments that aren't written that you stumble upon with a scene partner that you're super comfortable with. Was there a time for you where you're like, hey, I'm starting to feel this, a little more than I did the first year?
Yeah, it's a great question. If there's like one moment, and I'm just going to go with this one moment because it's the one that jumped in my head. I know watching GH, I was in prison, I was in jail. And I remember that. I remember there was just a sense of like real relaxation and confidence to be able to just kind of like be right there in the moment and just literally just listen and react. Just all of a sudden things became very, very simple, and you sort of forget about that you're acting at all. And I mean, obviously that's the goal, but for somebody at that phase in my career, that was new to me. And I think that was, and I was going through this, I was being accused of rape, and it was actually my evil brother.
What was his name?
DNA. Braden.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I was going to guess Brian. Ryan and Brian.
Yeah. That would have made sense. Yeah. Anyway, that was about that.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. So during that time, because obviously you've hosted so much stuff, which is, I mean, ridiculous how many things you've hosted. But when was that kind of, what was your first opportunity being there and then hosting? Was it Good Morning America? Was it something smaller? Or how did you kind of do
that? I remember you hosting all the Soap Nation stuff and all of like all of a sudden you were the host of all the ABC daytime events. What was there something before that? Did you initiate that, or was it just opportunity that was put in front of you?
Yeah, not at all. It was like, if you told me that, you know, when I was a teenager or even, you know, younger, that I would be kind of hosting or presenting and doing that kind of like energy, I was so painfully shy. Like I was it's so nuts. Like you could be shy and still be an actor, I think, because you're kind of like hiding in another character a little bit, but to be up there and yourself, and you guys know, you guys do all those clubs and you both host, and it's a whole different animal of being kind of present and confident and just relaxed in front of like masses of people. But I started doing, if you remember back in the probably early 2000s, we were doing Soap Up for ABC Daytime, where you would do the 1 week kind of wrap ups. You'd give the, of all three shows, I'm sure you guys did them if you remember, I'm not sure, but I was doing them and they would air on all the affiliates. And so what this was just like a little blurb kind of recapping the week of One Life to Live, All My Children, and General Hospital. And different people from different shows would be doing it. And so they'd have me do it sometimes. And somebody at Extra, Lisa Grigorish,
saw mine on the
ABC affiliate. And she's like, let's start using this guy as a correspondent. And so that's how I started in the hosting. And then from the correspondent, then I started hosting stuff for ABC and then the soap reality show and stuff like that.
And then Home and Family.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've done, yeah. Like I, for the, well, hosting I, yeah, side, yeah. I went from Extra to hosting, a reality show on Soapnet. I want to be a soap star.
Yes.
And then I went, I mean, there's a ton of stuff, but yeah. Good Morning America, Entertainment Tonight. And then Home and Family is the talk show that just ended a couple weeks ago on Hallmark. Well, it's still airing, but we finished.
And how long was that run?
That run was 9 years for them. I was on it for 3 years.
Awesome, dude. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah.
The adrenaline that you get, having done it for so long now, do you still get the adrenaline of like that, who knows what's going to happen, the live aspect of it? And, you know, how does that compare to like the creativeness of acting? Like what part of hosting feeds you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think there's like a lot of similarities. Like oddly enough, for me, when I sort of prepare as an actor, I prepare a lot, but I prepare so that I can completely forget everything and relax and just kind of go with what's ever happening. Like I don't like to kind of get stuck in my preparation. So in the same way with hosting, I like to prepare so that for the same thing, to be just like spontaneous and be in the moment, know what I got to hit, know what's happening next, know what the next question is, know whatever it is that I'm doing. But at the same time, it's really about the moments that you didn't prepare, you know, as far, I think, in both acting and hosting. And so in that way, to be able to prepare to a point of complete kind of authenticity and relaxation and sort of confidence, it's very, very similar. And I like to be, even though as a host, I'm definitely kind of more amped, but that's still like authentic to me. Like I'm pretty jack guy in general.
Yeah.
But I like to be as authentic as I can be.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Magic Spoon.
Yes, and we're focused this week on not just how great tasting Magic Spoon is, but the birthday cake flavor is in the house.
Oh, in the house. Okay, So
yeah,
first of all, Magic Spoon will make your childhood cereal dreams or memories. They'll revive those memories and recharge that love of wonderful, delicious cereal that you thought you couldn't have as an adult, because Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only four net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And as Steve said, exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, birthday cake. Birthday cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so get it while you can. I got this 5-pack, dude.
Oh, did you?
Yes, yes. Because normally sometimes they come in 4-packs. With the birthday cake, it's coming in a 5-pack, and you can do, you can get all the flavors. And my favorite thing to do is, so I tried the limited edition maple waffle and that was so good. And the cookies and cream, which was so good, but birthday cake is the new one. And I was so excited to get the birthday cake bundle, because you get the birthday cake and then you get fruity cocoa, peanut butter, and cinnamon.
Okay. Yes.
Listen. And no combination is bad.
Yeah. Listen, if you haven't tried Magic Spoon yet, you guys, and you eat cereal, you got to try Magic Spoon. Okay. It's not just, you could sit there with your bowl of cereal with milk or almond milk or whatever. It's honestly a great snack. Like you could literally fill up a Ziploc bag and just put it in your, for the ladies, put it in your purse, for your kids, whatever. It's a great snack. So
good.
If you have not tried Magic Spoon, please give Magic Spoon a try. Cereal is the best.
And if you go to magicspoon.com/that's awesome to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try, be sure to use our promo code That's Awesome, THATSAWESOME, at checkout to save $5 off your order. The offer is now good anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
That's crazy. And remember, if you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. So
get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/that's awesome and use the code That's Awesome to save $5.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Hey friends, Bradford and Kira here to tell you about Middle of the Magic Travel. Disney World, Disneyland, they're reopening, and it's great news. But there's people are scampering to get back there.
they really are. Who can blame them?
Right. Everyone's excited to get back to Disneyland and Disney World. And so that means that when you're booking, you want to know what you're doing.
You certainly do. And when I am going on a Disney vacation, the first thing I do now is call Tracy and her team at Middle of the Magic. The first time we used them, I didn't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And she just made the whole process so easy, so stress-free, so I could really just focus on my family and enjoying my vacation, and enjoy it we did. And she just made it so magical and special.
Yeah, there's certain details about a Disney vacation especially that you might not think about. Obviously, there's places to stay, depending on if you're going to Disneyland or Disney World, there's many different choices. And depending on what you want and who you're bringing, there's different things to consider. Tracy can help you with all of that. Dining reservations in the Disney parks. They book out. People want to go to specific places. If you want your pick, you got to do it early. She keeps you on schedule. She lets you know how to do it. She makes sure that you get what you want for what you want. And she and her team are Disney, not just Disney specialists, but Disney enthusiasts. So they will joyously do this for you, because they know the magic. They want to bring you the magic. So if you are thinking of a Disney vacation with your family, with your partner, by yourself, whatever kind of Disney vacation you want, you need to use Middle of the Magic Travel. We couldn't recommend them highly enough.
So true. I've actually talked about Tracy with a lot of my friends, and now they're working with Tracy and Middle of the Magic Travel, and they're so excited too. So I can't wait for our vacation. Tracy and I have already been emailing about it, and she's got us all locked and loaded for our vacation. And I just know it's going to be another special, exciting experience thanks to her.
That's right. We use Tracy. Steve uses Tracy for his family. You can't go wrong. It's one of those amazing features She's a Disney travel agent, so if you book with her, there is no fee as well. So there's really no reason not to use her. So go to middleofthemagictravel.com to plan your next Disney extravaganza. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I'm curious about, you know, the times in the early 2000s when you were probably at the peak of whatever you were doing on All My Children, right? And you were obviously, your shirt was off a lot, and that was something that became kind of synonymous with you. ABC Daytime, that was like right before I came on, and it seemed like I came on at kind of the end, towards the end of all the really fun stuff that you guys got to do.
Was that fun? Was that really fun stuff? I mean, I was going to apologize to you, man. I was going to be like, you know what, dude, I'm so sorry you came into all that. You must have been like, I've been dropped into this like tornado of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I the thing was, the expectations for me was that I never had to participate in the world that you two were in. That was probably a really fun time.
Yeah, it was a great time for ABC Daytime. I thought it was.
And Steve,
yeah,
I thought
it was.
You,
man,
Steve, owe him a some gratitude because he took his shirt off so much, people didn't ask you to do it as much.
Listen, this guy's honestly, the shape this dude was in was phenomenal. Like if you did not see this cat back then, go Google it. This was ridiculous. He inspired a lot of people for sure. There's no doubt about it.
You know, like truthfully, it was like a real kind of fun time for all of daytime television. And yeah, it's true. I did take my shirt off at events and on the show and all that kind of stuff. Steve, I know you did too. But I was only doing it also, like Steve's pointing out, I happened to be in really good aesthetic shape at the time, but I wasn't shy about it, and it seemed to really kind of make people kind of laugh and scream and have a good time. I just kind of got caught up in it, and was it too much? Maybe.
But hey, man, listen, that's the media. I mean, we're in that medium, and we were in that medium.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really when I first got here, I had just literally started working out kind of in my late teens, early 20s. I got here at 21. And then, you know, and then Antonio Sabato came.
Oh, geez.
Right. So then I'm like, oh, crap. I better get my ass to the gym.
Shit. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay, here we go. And that's how it really that's how it really started for me. Like, because we knew that was part of the medium. I mean, it is kind of part of it now, but the young guys now don't care. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, it seems like, you know, from what I've seen, you're right. It's not to the extent that it was, for sure. But I don't know if Steve knows that, because he's actually more jacked and in better shape and it's like than he's ever been in his whole life. I mean,
well, I'm trying right now, dude.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. It's really, really remarkable. Like, as I've gotten older, it's just so much harder, and not just normal stuff. Like as you get older, there's just, you know, your hormones kind of shift.
I know, dude.
You know, like you got to monitor your blood glucose to make sure you're doing. It's just hard to be able to do what Steve's doing. Not at this age, we're about the same age. I'm a little older, but it's like, it's pretty remarkable, man. It's really crazy.
Was it just your metabolism? Obviously, it was hard work, but like back when, you know. What, or did you, were you living like a nun, or like,
are you asking if I was on drugs?
We're asking what you were eating.
No. Yeah. Basically what you're eating.
I'm just
like,
kidding, man.
Because yeah.
No, it's kind of weird, because what happened was I was always like an athletic guy, but never kind of ripped it. Never that guy ever. I played college basketball, all of that. And I was never lean at all. They called me, my nickname on the college basketball team was Grover, because I had a little pot belly and skinny arms and skinny legs. That's true. That's 100% true. No.
I'm surprised that no one has ever called me that. Truthfully.
Yeah. Well, get ready. Cause now if you keep this in the show, they're going to start.
Damn!
No, and then for 54 for that movie, I auditioned and the audition went well, but he asked me, he said, listen, man, the bartenders at this time, they were doing a lot of like drugs and they were really, really lean and they were like shredded lean. And so if you could lose a little bit of weight before the part starts. And I started the Atkins diet. I did like a low carb, super low carb diet, which completely changed.
Everything.
So for whatever reason, my genetic makeup does extremely well low carb like that. All of a sudden I had more energy. I was shredded. I could literally see veins coming up like it was crazy. And that was in a month. Like it was a big change. And
that's
so off and
awesome.
On, I would do that. When I got in my best shape, I was always on a very lower carbohydrate diet.
Yeah.
Because I imagine once you started getting known for that, I'm sure that then you felt like pressure to keep that up, or maybe like the show was writing it all the time. So you're like, I got it. And would they ever give you notice for that? Or do they just assume you were ready to take it off at any point?
They always assumed I was ready. They thought it was, I think a lot of people, they always just assume, man. I would read it and I was like, oh man, I got like 5 days. And the trick was I never read my scripts the day I got them. You know, you get you know what I'm saying? I would always read them like, I don't know. I can't even remember, but a few days before. And you're like, oh man, this is coming.
Oh dude, I wish I could tell you a story right now that just happened to me recently, but I can't because of storyline. So I'm not going to, but I will. But they try to give us 2 weeks here notice, which is
great,
right? Which is great. I mean, so that's nice of them.
That's nice. Well,
before it wasn't
big,
like
you could definitely do a big cut in 2 weeks.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah,
I seem to recall, I don't know, years ago.
Yes.
Someone in the writer's room giving you like months notice, like, hey, we're thinking about.
Well, dude, listen, this could be a great attribute or not a great one. I'm super critical of myself, and what I see in the mirror is not what other people apparently see, because I'm, a little bit of body dysmorphia for sure. So I always needed the right amount of time to put myself through that. But now, like Cameron said, I'm ready any day now. Like this is how I live now. And it's kind of crazy that I'm doing it from when I'm 50 on now, but it's just something. I just want to be ready at, like Cameron Matheson in 2002. I want to be ready. I want to be seriously ready at any time. Like, I'm up. I'm ready. I'm in. Put me in. Let's go.
Well, you are. And the nice thing is too, from what I see too, your wife, your whole lifestyle at home sort of really supports that. I mean, that is so key. It's so hard to do this in a house where everybody's eating like potato chips and eating pasta.
It's
and
very
all
difficult.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Totally. Bradford knows.
Well, I'm usually the guy eating that stuff. So I'm trying. It's like, see, obviously you guys develop good habits early, but like for me, I never had terrible habits, but it was always like, I'll get better when I'm 30, when I'm 35, when I'm 40. And it's like, it's that time now where, the best I'm going to be, I have to do that now because before it's like making up for, before it's repairing damage, I want to get better before the damage is done. Right.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'll be 42 in September.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, but Cam, what you said, the lifestyle is important. And honestly, it's the aesthetics are great, but it's the health. Health is the priority for us. Number one is the health, and you just feel better. Like I feel the best I've ever felt in 50 years. Like
that's
I feel amazing. And to have that feeling, I can't let it go. So,
good for you guys. And that's the truth. It's all about when I was looking my best, I got to be honest, I was not very healthy. I just was eating kind of, I don't know. I just wasn't careful about what I was eating as long as I looked good. But now it's the opposite. I'm eating things that I know are good for me and I don't look as good.
Yeah. Like I know you probably got into this a lot on Maurice's State of Mind with beating your kidney cancer, right?
Yeah, man.
So, which is absolutely incredible. I don't really want to go down that road a lot, but I just want to ask you, facing something like that, what's the lesson that you learned coming out the other side?
Yeah, it'd be a real miss to go through something like that and make it through it and, right. and not have like a good takeaway, something that really kind of, changed you in some way. I think the big few things for sure were, we all know that life is short or whatever. We hear that. It's like on the bumper stickers and stuff, but you just don't know how short. Like, that was really unbelievably scary when I got that news, you know, like your life flashes before you. I didn't know it. So, and not in a way you hear that, and people will be like, yeah, you gotta, you know, have fun now while it lasts and go to party in Vegas. What I mean is this, like, you got to make life meaningful now. Like, you know, you don't know how short life is, and spend time with the family and do things for others and work on yourself in ways that make you feel happy. Like Steve was talking about, because you just don't know. So that was one big takeaway. Another big takeaway for me was, it really felt, I don't know if this is going to sound corny, but it really increased my compassion for other people that are, there's just an outrageous number of people suffering. You know, cancer is huge, but so many other diseases, sure. and dysfunctions, and, you know, whether it's physical or mental and all of that in between, that are out there, that it was so hard and so scary. And I had the best possible circumstances. A, I didn't have chemo and radiation. B, I had like some of the best doctors in the world, and I had the kind of the funds to kind of, you know, and insurance and everything. But it's just, it helped me really feel connected to others kind of going through struggles, for sure.
Yes. So when, during that process, was there a time mentally where you're like, besides the shock and awe of what was going on, when it kind of settled in, was there a time where you were like, I'm going to beat this?
Like, My wife was right away. Her dad passed away with cancer, and I told her first. And it makes me, like, without even any control, it makes me a little emotional thinking about it. But I called her right away. And she said immediately, we're going to beat this. I wasn't there yet. But I got there. I guess I needed to learn more about it first. I didn't know much about kidney cancer. And truthfully, it's quite manageable as long as it hasn't spread. So the worst thing about kidney cancer, well, I shouldn't say the worst thing, but I think I can say the worst thing about kidney cancer is when it spreads into your lymph nodes and your lungs and then into your brain. I'm right. staying in this house in quarantine, and the guy who owns the house, he's got a house next door, had kidney cancer, and he sort of Googled me or whatever and said, "Hi, you have kidney cancer." And he asked about my journey. His journey is very, very different. His spread into his lymph nodes, into his lungs, into his brain. And so, I got extremely lucky. Once I learned that it hadn't spread, I was like, we got this. I know I'm going to beat this. I know, like, the people worried about the surgery and all that. But once I knew that it hadn't spread throughout my body, I was feeling more confident.
Awesome, dude.
So now you are about to start a movie. You know, you're coming back to a job. Obviously, maybe with this perspective of having gone through something like, maybe this question would have been different 2 years ago. But what, as a creative person, as someone that has done so many things, what creatively gets you going the most? What are you excited to do going forward?
You mean professionally, like professionally, or do you mean just like in life in general?
Yeah, I would say both, like professionally, and then what's your passion outside that might not have to do with the arts, but that you just love doing?
I'll say this for sure. First and foremost, professionally, I'm so excited to have time to work as an actor more than, you know, an Entertainment Tonight for 4 years, which was an insane schedule. And then Home and Family for 3 years, that's 7 years of working and only being able to be, get in the occasional Hallmark movie, one or two a year kind of thing. And it was just like, I'm so happy that I'll have more time to be able to work as an actor creatively, especially now that I know a little bit about the character on GH. I'm super excited. Like it's something I got goosebumps hearing about it. It's sort of what I feel like I need right now creatively, just to kind of spark that interest again. And I was very, very excited with what I heard about it. So that, I think, professionally, and then personally, truthfully, I have, sort of like Steve, I'm, I'm really fascinated and involved with all things health related, like spiritually, nutrition, and fitness. And I have like an Instagram that kind of covers those three spheres. So it's called All Health 360. And it's like, it's just literally, there's no MO about it. I share things that I discover. I do interviews with people that I find fascinating, things that have helped me, things that I knew nothing about, things that I know quite a bit about.
That's cool.
And that for me, that's something that I really like, I don't know, kind of drives me a lot. And I just love it. It's just who I am. Yeah. So it's just an extension of how I am.
So that's what's the tag on Instagram so people can check it
out? It's All Health 360, like health from 360 degrees, including, you know, spiritual and emotional health and, you know, things like volunteering and meditation and all that.
So it's kind of mind, body and spirit, all
mind, body
one.
And spirit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
That's,
yeah.
That's, I mean, it's all connected. So it's fantastic. Yeah. I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
So this movie that you're about to start, I mean, you've done a bunch of Hallmark or Lifetime.
Dude,
a bunch.
From 2012, this guy's like the king of TV movies.
Right. But, and I know that those processes are, crazy. You know, they seem to have it down to a science, right? Like,
it's amazing. Yeah. 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 It's crazy. They shoot in like 15 days or less, a full movie. And,
yeah. It's crazy.
And they're looking so much better. Like they're so, it looks, you know, like a way higher budget film now.
Totally.
It's incredible with technology and with the crews and the lighting and things that they're doing now. Yeah. It's amazing what they can do for the budget, you know, is incredibly low compared you know, it's a $2 million movie, put it that
yeah.
way. So
yeah.
That's not a lot of money to make a movie, everybody.
Well, and you've seen kind of the progression of them, right? Because you've been doing them over some time, but especially the holiday ones in like the last two or three years, there's always been an active audience for these. But now it feels like the genre of that kind of movie is like really hit its peak in 2020 during like quarantine, especially like that's the kind of content that people were looking for. And like, so there's a lot of energy and juice behind those kinds of movies right now.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Luckily, you know, I've been part of it for a while, but as the years kind of go up, Hallmark Channel has been the number one fastest growing cable channel for several years. Hallmark
Crazy.
Channel movies and mysteries. They have a sort of secondary channel is the second highest.
That's crazy.
Cable channel out there. And this is not like just to this year, this has been like the last several years. So I think it's a real, you know, very much like subs, very much like daytime TV. It's a real escape for people. It's a real, in a different way though, obviously Hallmark and has got to be on brand, and it's just spreading positivity, good message, good stuff. People know that they're going to watch it and feel good at the end of it. And they know that their families can watch. And it's been nice to be kind of part of that. It's nice to have my kids sit down and be able to watch stuff that I'm in.
That's cool.
Right.
Dude.
Yeah. That's cool. Must be cool too. In terms of the process of it, do you acting in it? I know you've repeated certain characters throughout certain films, and you know, obviously you've played long running characters on soaps. Like process wise, is it nice to be able to go in between, or like do you have a preference?
You know, there's something to be said about really getting to know a character better than probably even the writers could know him. I'm sure you guys have that experience. And I feel like by the end of playing Ryan, it's what people don't realize, or maybe they do, is that you're playing one character, but you know, like the highs and the lows, and then you find out more about the backstory, and then the family member comes into. So you get all of these opportunities. Like Ryan was like a good guy. He was a con man. He ended up trying to like almost kill his wife and go and like have a fight club. But that, like, there was all these ups and downs and beautiful opportunities. So in a way, I probably, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's been so long since I've done it, but I really probably would prefer, I enjoy that a lot. I enjoy really kind of having time to months and months and years getting to know a character. It is definitely fun to dive in and to try different things. Obviously creatively, that's really important too. So I don't think I have one over the other, but I'm looking forward to getting back and kind of really getting to know a character.
I know there's something about being on a film set though, that there's something about being able to take that time and really massage the moments. And but the speed that in which you guys do Hallmark movies, it's not like you luxuriate and take 27 takes for each thing. It's still pretty quick.
Yeah.
But more time than you'll get on GH, just so you know.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. And I know that.
Oh, Cameron. You know, Cameron.
Lots has changed.
Cameron.
Right? Am I in for it?
Cameron. Tell me. Okay. I'm just going to let's just play a little game, quick game here before we wrap up. How many items was the most when you remember on All My Children for the day? What'd you remember?
Remember, like, honestly, in the 30s, like 30s to up to 40 items would be a long, big day.
Okay. All right. So today we have 78.
Oh my God. That's insane. 70. So for people that don't know, items, that's basically a scene.
That's a correct scene.
78
yeah
scenes that you're
yeah
shooting today.
Yeah. So when I started in 91, it was 20. And when you came, it doubled, and now it's doubled again.
Sometimes it's in the 80s. And
it's been in the 80s. Yeah. It's
really,
it's really crazy. And you know what?
So how many of those are you in? How many of those 78 are you in?
Oh, dude, this week has been, you don't even, this week last week was the most shows I've ever done in my life. I did 12 shows last week. I literally had like 30 to 40 pages a day. Like it was crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
It just depends on what sets are up now. It's like, you know, if you're in four shows that week and they all happen to be in that one set, you're going to do four shows in one day.
I don't actually mind that. I
don't mind it either. Because then I'm done.
I've got 5 days in a row of it. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was brutal, but it'll be fun, man. And you know what? It seems like we go fast, but you're going to bounce right. You're going to be fine, and it's fine.
But the other thing is also, you're Steve Burton, and the show is like I can't imagine that the average General Hospital player would go through something as much as like Steve would, or Steve or Maurice or Laura, et cetera.
No, I probably not with the amount of stuff, but there are days where people are like, holy crap, I have 37 pages today, you know, but that's, you know, it happens every now and then, but
sure.
You know, but you'll be fine, dude. We're so looking forward to you coming here, man. I really am. I can't wait.
Me too.
It's going to be so much fun to have you in the building, and can't wait for the audience to see what character you play. Cause
yeah,
I have no idea. It will be a fun reveal.
Yeah, I cannot say a word, everybody. I can't.
That's right.
Honestly,
yes.
I'm thrilled. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, dude.
Awesome. So great to catch up with Cameron. We used to travel together. I used to go on all these ABC Daytime events where he was hosting or he'd be there. It was so much fun back in the day.
Yeah,
and to see he was hosting back then, and to see what he's done, and obviously the personal stuff he's dealt with, but also the professional achievement that it's just. And the fact that he's coming to our show is just so exciting.
It's really cool, man. I would see him. I've actually seen him a few times at Disneyland, which is crazy. Like our families would run into each other. So
I'm looking forward.
I've known him ABC and events and stuff like that. But I'm really
I wanted to ask this when you, but I almost didn't. I was like, did you guys feel, and maybe maybe on his end, but like when you're like the lead hunky guy on a show, do you look at the hunky guys from other shows and like size them up a little? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, not really. No, but I like, dude, the guy was in fantastic shape. He was absolutely 100% an inspiration for sure. You know, he was, and he was just a great guy too. So
I know he is. He is. Yeah, he's totally just a genuine fella.
Yeah.
So lots of good times ahead.
Yeah, exciting, man. Looking forward to him coming here. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. And of course we should mention that we are hitting the road this week. This weekend,
dude,
is it. That's it, dude.
This is it. This is it.
Are you
it's
ready?
Happening.
Are you ready?
I'm getting there.
Okay,
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a lot of hard work in this week, and we're going to get it done, and it's going to be awesome.
That's
so
right.
So go check out our dates, stonecoldthejackal.com. We're hitting the road this week. We're hitting the road in July, August, September. Just go there, get on the email list so you don't miss our dates, because everybody always asks, when are you coming here? Well, just get on the email list and you'll see and you'll find out.
And our website tends to stay up to date, so you can see where we're going. We're hitting the South. You know, this week, Baltimore, Raleigh, West Palm Beach, Tampa, Orlando, Birmingham, Huntsville, Nashville. But later this year, we're hitting the Midwest. We're hitting the Northeast. We're hitting the Southwest.
Yes.
We're hitting Texas. We're hitting a
Phoenix.
Lot of places.
Yes.
We're hitting a lot of places. So, and there's more to come. So,
more to come.
As Steve said, get on the email list and, you know, bookmark stonecoldandthejackal.com. Go to tour dates and events and, you know, keep up to date. Because
yeah, guys.
There's a lot of fun to be had. It's been a while since we've been out on the road, and we are bringing the fun.
Yeah. And check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/StoneColdTheJackal, because we're going to put we already have a lot of exclusive stuff over there, but especially when we're going to be on the road, it's Patreon time. So
that's right.
Check that out too. So
we like to give kind of a backstage look at what our tour weeks are like on Patreon. So it's super fun. All right, everybody. Thank you to Cameron. Thanks to Magic Spoon for sponsoring us. We love them. And we'll be talking to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Well, you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy.
It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
On June 12th, live from Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Social Gloves presents Battle of the Platforms, streaming on LiveX Live. Watch as the internet's biggest rivalry, YouTubers versus TikTokers, square off in the ring for the ultimate knockout. It's the social media rivalry we all love to hate. Headlined by Austin McBroom, founder of the Ace Family, fighting against teen idol and TikTok star Bryce Hall. Plus, can't miss performances, appearances, and more from today's top music artists. It's all going down Saturday, June 12th, and we don't want you to miss it. Pay-per-view packages are on sale now, starting at $29.99 for a limited time only. Buy now at socialgloves.livexlive.com. Get your tickets May 29th before prices go up. TikTok versus YouTube. Which side are you on?